Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Yes, guys!
Friday, the 24th of July. In tune to Sheffield Live, got a man called CV by my side. Yeah. Wah-wah, Mr. V!
Yeah, good evening, yeah. Remember this back in the days?
Kind of sound like New Wave, kind of something.
Just have to clear the airways, you know?
Wow!
My mic on?
Yeah, man.
Okay, because...
Oh, you're not in on me, yes.
Yeah, it's on loud and clear. Sweet Talking Sport. Radio chat show. Wow, if they excuse live things that go on. Yeah, straight to the point chat show that deals with the latest sports news and stories. With both interviews during the modern day society devoted entirely to discussion on sporting events, whether local, national, good to go, expansive debate, analysed by myself and Mr. V this evening. Yeah, your regular programming, probably Yorkshire's best talking sports show, radio chat show over here, live and direct, Fridays, dropping it from 6 to 7, or you can catch it on the archives.
Yeah, that sound like, you know that sound like? It sound like, New Romantic something back in the day in the 80s, and man them with the, who used to wear them frilly shirt and all them something there. Yeah, that's what it sound. Are them something that you used to wear?
What about the Kunta Kinte tune? Can you hear it in the background?
I can hear a little bit about, I can hear it, but it's this kind of sound them romantic with them frilly shirt business, you know what I mean? The Kunta Kinte one there where me know is dub player Kunta, you know?
This is actually Kunta Kinte warrior style.
Is
dub
it?
Invasion.
Is it?
Yes, I am.
The one that me know when we go a sound and man, they drop it proper with the heavyweight, you know, the heavyweight bass line. Yeah, them styles.
And it go boy.
Yeah, them something and all your chest they start shake up and them start at, yeah, them kind of thing there.
Yeah, do you know what? Without further ado, I'm going to just jump straight in, you know? I hope nobody's listening to this. Sure. But anyway, if you are, keep it to yourself. And yeah, we're going to open things up now. And the man called AJ is back on the scene fighting tomorrow, 11 PM.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, right. in my fight.
Some kind of novice or something.
Yeah, I mean he's fighting Perenga.
Ooh.
This dude called Perenga is Perenga's from the US.
Okay.
But the tear up is
is happening tomorrow. And, you know, in fact, let me kind of...
Is this like some kind of like, how can we put it like, some kind of warm-up, something for when him fight Tyson?
Yeah, you've got it.
All right.
And that's, yeah, exactly, you know, where we're going to go with it. Soon come with it.
I'm not even bad about that neither. About Tyson and him. It's years too late, man.
I know what you're saying about that, and I totally agree too.
Just keep my mind occupied, because if I stop, you let it sink in, and I'm not ready for it to sink in. There's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
A little bit nervous. It's competition at the highest level. I want to perform for my team. I want to make them proud.
How are you visualizing this fight playing out against Prenger?
You have to take the spirit out of a fighter. Every fighter has a good spirit early on, and you have to take that from them. Hurting them, making them miss, capitalizing on their mistakes, being in position to exploit his talents and make him feel that he's not able to do what he's good at, basically. And then they become hopeless.
And it feels like it's the final obstacle
before
we see this fight that we've been waiting for a decade.
A lot of pressure riding on this fight. It's out there for me to go and do. It's going to be challenging, but you've got two options. You're going to be the hero, or you're going to be the coward. And I'm choosing to be the hero.
And it's business on Saturday. You need to handle your business. Tyson Fury needs to handle his business. Are you expecting him in the ring with you after the fight? He's fighting on.
Yeah, so fighting in Saudi. I mean, AJ, what, 36 now? Prenger, 35. So not much between them. And I think, for me, it probably depends on what kind of version that AJ actually turns up. If we see the AJ turn up when he got his ass kicked against Ruiz first time, he's losing.
What about when my boy, they deliver him from evil?
Daniel.
Yeah.
When him catch him.
Yeah.
If that version turns up, he's going to get surprised. Yeah?
Yeah, he must sleep, man. I
was going to say that, and if the version turns up when he fought Usyk, but, you know, to be fair, it's never really going to rock him. Well, he rocked him, but he was never really going to beat him, I should say. You know what I mean? So, he better beware, but, I mean, for Prenger now, it's an opportunity for him to make a little names for himself, because, I mean, Tale of the tape, AJ's had 29 fights, Prenger's had 20. Four losses for AJ, one for Prenger. No draws. AJ's 26 KOs, Prenger 20. And remember, 20 KOs there. That's kind of like looking kind of hefty. And the KO percentage for AJ is 79% and 95 for Prenger. So, you know, could be a little tasty, this one. I mean, technically, it's got an AJ win all over it. But obviously in heavyweight boxing, anything can happen any given time, as we know. It only needs one piece if you just catch up on your jawbone and
you're gone.
Boy, yeah, and it's everything in after that. So yeah, it should be kind of like an interesting fight. And then with, you know, Gypsy King, he fights in Thailand tonight, and that's a little pantomime business fight.
Yeah, well, I've heard that it's not even being shown.
Nah, he's kind of just...
It's not even being shown. It's not even being shown. Nobody now show it.
I think they just kind of some backstreet negotiations.
Yeah,
some
in-house business.
Yeah, you know when they've kind of negotiated the fight, they've probably been in some kind of pub or something and put it on the back of some fag packets and signed that. You know what I mean? That's what he's probably done. So Fury, I think that's a deliberate thing, that fight's tonight. And then he's free to watch AJ have his tear up
tomorrow. Yeah.
You know? Because normally, fights that magnitude, normally it's normally a Saturday night thing, isn't it?
Normally.
You know what I mean? Normally. So, you know, that's kind of like...
Because when I've looked it up, it says, nah, nobody now show it. And I thought, what? Mm. You're doing some kind of comeback fight or whatever it is, right? And nobody now show it. That tells you that the fights, it's nothing. It's rubbish.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's going to be about, you know, 15,000 fights. Like, you know, CV says, quite rightly, no television broadcasting will be there. You know, and Tyson bragging off that he's lighter than his opponent for the first time in 15 years. You know what I mean? So... he obviously wants to put on a show against AJ, and you know, it's like you say, I mean, that fight should have really happened from time
long time ago.
I mean, how many times have we been there with boxers, and you know, and I think it suits both camps that they want to avoid, because no camp wants obviously a defeat, but it doesn't suit the public. You know what I mean? The boxers will look after themselves first, you know, and the families and that before them treat the public. You know what I mean? It's just simple as that, really. You know what I mean?
For me, I'm not even bad about it, because for me, you've got two what I call time wasters now. Other people might say, oh, that's a bit harsh, that time wasters.
See it there?
But they are, because none of them two are going to win the world champion. None of them.
No, not anymore. Their days are gone. So it's about pantomime and collection, isn't it?
That's what it's about.
And collection.
That's what it's about. It's about, let's put this together and we both of us can get a little squeeze out of it. You know, you can make a little 20 million or whatever the fight is going to be. You might get a little 10 or a 15 out of it. And really, what you're doing is you're fooling up the public. That's how I see it. You're fooling up the public, and people might say, well, they're not really, because everybody's interested in seeing it. Yeah, you would have been interested in seeing it when they was at the peak, when Tyson was at his peak, when AJ was at his peak. The both of them two, they're not at the peak now.
No, not anymore.
They're not at the
not
peak.
Anymore.
No, man. Them just one stage above me.
I mean, even though AJ has had been in some serious kind of like fights, you know, the Joshua one, you know, the Usyk one back in 22.
That you would say, yes, that's a proper boxing proper boxing match. But as you rightly said beforehand, you kind of knew that Usyk was going to brook him.
Yeah.
You kind of knew it.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, you know, I don't know about now, but at that time, there's nobody what could touch him, really. You know what I mean?
There
somebody's got to be the number one. And you know, at that point, it was just Usyk, what, number one.
And then Tyson
in the world.
Tyson had a little go at him. Tried to go at him.
And just chip off a few little blocks.
And
you know?
Same thing happened to him. He touched him as well. So, me, I think this fight is for, like, why? For two veteran, innit?
Yeah, it's collection, innit? Like we say, it's collection deal.
Yeah, it's two,
you know what I mean?
Two veteran a swing.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many times has Tyson been, you know, messing around with the public, say, retire, come out, gone back in, come out. Coming like ringa roses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A pocket full of poses.
That's right. That's
and when
right.
they say a tissue, it's like, give me the corn.
It's like you the know? Boy who can't cry wolf.
Yeah.
You know, the boy who cry wolf.
Kind of style there.
You know what I mean? I'm retiring. And then you say, all right, him retire. Little more now. 2 years later, oh, Tyson, I come back out again.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At first, you know, it's kind of like, you think, oh, yeah, he's coming back out. Yeah, yeah, he's still got something to give. But now it's just kind of like, oh, who is he? Yeah, okay.
There you go.
You don't really look into that too tough, you know? But like with kind of like AJ now, if he was to taste defeat tomorrow, where does he go
from there?
Yeah, and I suppose that fight with Tyson would it still be on, innit? They wouldn't.
Nah, they won't stop that. They still do it because
probably gone too far to stop that fight
because it's still drawing, innit?
Yeah, it's still
drawing the crowd.
Mm. I mean, this will be his first fight since you know he was involved in that accident, innit? You know what I mean?
Oh, with them two brethren, them gone.
Yeah, yeah. And people thought, do you know what? He shouldn't fight again. You know what I mean? Or will he fight again? You know, obviously it would have took a lot out of him and stuff. But, you know, he says that he's ready if he turn up. You know what he's like, AJ. You know, he'll kind of say the kind of like right things and he's kind of like relaxed when he's chatting. And you're thinking, you know, some people would probably like to see a little rawness in him. You know what I mean? To say, you know, I can't wait to get back in the ring. You know what I mean? I want to show people that I'm still here. You know, I'm still a serious contender. And I'm going to lay it on him. You know what I mean? This guy's going to wish that he'd never took the fight and all them kind of things. But I saw one kind of interview where Eddie Hearn was kind of like just interviewing him. And it just coming like a makeup thing. You know what I mean? So I thought to myself, yeah. But he wasn't that relaxed when Triple D teased him in 24, you know, and broke him up to pieces, you know, like in a jigsaw, you know, when you can't find a few pieces and then pieces they are missing, you know? Yeah. When him, you know, smash him up like mashed potato, smash him up. Remember that advert, like, yeah. Match gets smashed.
That's right. Yeah. With them three aliens.
Like, mash gets smashed. Yeah, all them kind of thing there, you know what I mean? Dear. So, yeah. But, you know what I mean? As for AJ, yeah, he's got good reflexes and stuff like that, you know, but... Ben Davis was training him for a while, but he kind of dissed Ben and gone to Team Usyk. You know what I mean? Because Ben Davis, he said to him something like in his last fight or something. That was against Triple D when he said, "Yeah, just roll the dice and then get clean out." You know what I mean? And people were saying, what a stupid thing for your trainer to say, yeah, we just rolled the dice. It's not his chin what's getting touch up out there, so.
That is true.
You know what I mean?
That is true.
You know? But yeah, it might give out orders and direction for your man for just, yeah, we just rolled the dice and we'll just have a go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it didn't work out like that, you know?
Right, so he did get lean, innit? No, hey. you know, like how some man them shoe them lean. You know, uh-huh.
Lean boot.
Yeah, you know, them shoe, just them, lean them, up. Them shoe heel them just you know, them wedge span the door. That shoe heel them just wedge. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they get lean like tower pizza.
Oh my god. Yeah, man. Hey. Hey.
Mm. Boy.
Pizza. Yeah. Oh, get lean up. Yes. Yeah. Mr. V, you know, the building, you know, go on some way. Yeah, I mean, Prenger, he's expected to lose this tear up. And let's face it, it's just to big up AJ, to build him up, get his confidence back, because don't forget, he's gone through tribulation and that, losing his brethren and that, in that unfortunate accident in Nigeria.
Yeah, and to be fair, you can't, that just can't just disappear, can it?
So it's just supposed to be using Prenger as like a stepping stone, you know what I mean? And hopefully, AJ will probably come through unscathed. Well, you want both boxers to come.
What time's
through.
That on then?
It's probably on about 11 o'clock, through time, you know what I mean, tomorrow. But yeah, I think I'll check that out. You've got a choice, check it out. And if it's not saying nothing, just switch over, innit?
Mm.
Just switch him over. That's what you can do. And then like we know, the Gypsy King, like we said, he's on his own program in Thailand tomorrow without the broadcasters and stuff. And it's probably just negotiated that with them people, them, you know what I mean? And can't bother, you know, start phone up this and get Sky and all them something there. It'll be just a little warm up for him, little payday, you know what I mean? Little holiday as well for him at the same time in Thailand. Watch the AJ fight and probably with his people then. And, you know, they'll have their plan, what they want to do as well. Sweet Talking Sports 1820. You're listening to myself and CV in the studio. Sticking with boxing now. Bit of a scandal this going off. And there's this boxer called Upatea. 31-year-old. Aussie. And he's the IBF champion. But because he teamed up with Zaffa, and I had a feeling something like this would come into it, because Upatea, he's got a legal action now in the US, and then what they did, they took the title belt off him. He's kind of a cruiserweight guy, like I said, originally from Australia. Now, IBF, the sanctioning body, Upatea's camp is saying that they acted unlawfully and stripped him of his belt following the first fight with his promotional outfit, Zuffa Boxing, which is the in thing, which is they have kind of like title holders at one division. You know, there's only one division, rather than the IBF and WBO and all that, something WBA, you know. So the Zuffa have just rolled it out different, and they're attracting boxers, attracting people. You've got Ben, who's kind of like signed up with them. This guy who I'm chatting about now as well.
Yeah, I think you talked about this one time on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's drawing all kinds into it now, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, when you talked about and you mentioned Ben, I just thought, wow, Ben? Really? But
yeah, he signed on the dotted line. Upatea,
yeah.
He's kind of like saying that, yeah, they're kind of out to order, acting unlawfully, wants his belt back, you know. And is it a case of kind of sour grapes between Zuffa and IBF, you know, the governing body, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's in a court, and there's a big kind of like fight to get his belt now. Now the IBF declined to comment on this situation, and when people generally, you know, want to kind of hush and tight-lipped, you know, that they've got something to hide, you know. There's been a 19-page complaint obtained, which claims the rival governing bodies have discouraged champions from fighting him. So they're saying that, you know, there's a thing out and people are saying, well, don't bother fighting, you know what I mean? And it's getting into a right tangle. So we're going to keep one eye on this and see kind of like, you know, what happens, you know? But yeah, I mean, to be stripped of title, it's probably not a nice thing. This case centres on the fallout from 31-year-old, you know, his decision to sign with Zuffa Boxing, the new promotion launched by UFC president Dana White, and obviously the Saudi sheikhs in there as well. The company is called American Company by TKO. Up here, his first fight under the promotion came against Brandon in Las Vegas in March. The IBF title was due to be defended on the same night, but Zuffa Boxing introduced by cruiserweight champion belt, and it's like I said, it's, you know, whether they've acted unlawfully, it's up for the court to decide. Upatea signed for Zuffa this year, you know, and it was in January, apparently, he made the switch. I mean, he's a former title holder, 2022 and also 2026. Hell Ring magazine title also as well since 2022. I mean, these Zuffa and you know, IBF, probably the WBO and the WBA, it's probably not going to be the first time we hear of something like this. But yeah, it's interesting. Gonna switch it one more time again and go into a bit of teething, really. Cyclist. Stranger, you know, he operates in the C3 category, athletes with moderate challenges, physical impairment, and he's kind of like under the microscope for a bit of doping, and you know, the guy saying that, you know, he's never been kind of done drugs before in his life, you know. I mean, you'd think that whether he's claiming that he's never teethed in his life, but who knows? I mean, you've got to question whether he's teethed at Monopoly or something like that, or Cluedo back in the day. You know what I mean? Because to hold your hand up and said, look, I've never done anything like this.
It's a big statement.
It's a massive statement.
It's a big statement.
And then forget a 2-year ban as well. You know, yeah, I mean, you've got to question that, you know?
That 2-year ban, what he's got, they've got to really have dug deep then to catch this then.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, you know, if he's telling to people, well, you know, watch me, you know, I've never done nothing like that in my life,
mm-hmm.
You know. That's a big statement. And then they've come and said, yeah, we believe that you have.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that you got. So, you know what? Take this in and your throat. We're gonna bar you up.
You know?
For 2 years. But he's going to say, but I've never done anything like that in my life. And so, well, if you say you do it this time, so all this...
2-year ban. I mean, the National Anti-Doping Panel, they kind of like said that he argued his case and had been exposed by the environmental contamination with two possible scenarios. You know what I mean? And don't forget, like we said, he said that he's never done any teething before in his life, you know? They said that, you know, being contamination at a gym that had been attended and received a massage or shared, you know, home addresses type of stuff, received a massage at his home address. So he's saying, you know, he's contamination business, you know. But I mean, we had this kind of conversation off air the other day, and we can kind of go in it again right now, because is there a sport what there's no teeth in? You know what I mean? That's a big cue. I'm asking people out there, so.
Do you know what? I can't really think of none. I can't think of any. Where there's been no underhandedness
or anything.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know any. I can't really think of any.
I mean, if you think of like bowls and that, but you know, somebody might have took a little dip undercover. You know, snooker, they've had match fixing and all that something. Mm. We've got it in football all over, boxing, you know.
I must say chess.
Yeah,
chess might. Why?
Not really heard anything,
if you make the wrong move, then when we can say, right, you're the grandmaster now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Them kind of stuff. But you've never heard that, have you? I don't know about darts.
Darts. I think darts has come under the scrutiny as well.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
I mean, why is it that people love teeth in all these things? You know.
Because why they'll do anything to be the best, to be called the best.
That's right. You know, from all kinds of competition, from itself, performance enhancing drugs. You know, and point. Saving scandals to equipment tampering, rules manipulation, hence World Cup Argentina. And I know you wanted to go in it, you know.
Last week I did the Edilico show, and I thought you were rated. I thought you described everything. I thought you to the maximum. You know what I mean? When you, because even all today I've been looking at it about how Argentina at this present moment of time are the most hated country at the moment.
And you can believe that. I mean, because it was for the whole nation fit for sea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean, against Egypt and that, when I looked at Mo Salah's face, you know, when they scored that wonder goal, that stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And he just had to laugh, like to say, wait, a dem style that them are going with.
But when my boy, is it Ebola or whatever his name, for Switzerland, and he gets sent off.
Yeah.
What was that about?
It's just soft up.
You know what I mean?
Business.
Then you see my man, the same old messy boy there. Some piece of foul, let me see him do, you know. Some piece of foul, right? Did a foul and then catch one boy.
Against Algeria, right. when he raked.
Yeah, like saying my rake up garden, you know. rake garden.
And even that one against Anderson, when it looked like he just, Anderson received something like a little punch us. I don't think we're messing what did that, but
I just
Argentina
myself,
boy them.
Where these guys? And then what makes it worse, you know? What makes it worse is when Spain touched them. You know, when Spain, you know what me did like? What I did like, all right, it wasn't him what scored the goal, but it was him what make it. Was when Nico Williams just heads it back.
Oh, yeah.
And Torres puts it in. Right, me love it, you know. Me did love that.
Volley to the top corner.
But it showed what kind of people they are, what kind of urgent people. Because look, when them lose, my gosh, my man, there I fling some silent punch in a Rodri. Did you not see? Oh, he did one little silent punch.
Yeah.
And I was listening to my man, you know, my Arsenal man there, Robbie. Uh-huh. And Robbie was right what he said. He said, you know what? If that was one of us, my man would have been sleeping. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, my man would have been sleeping.
I think with me, right, because it's so blatant, and you've got to blame FIFA, the top brass, for allowing it so blatantly like that, because they're collecting the most, you know. They're not doing it for nothing or for a rainy day. They're lining up them pocket there, you know. But You know, people said, you know, they should get a world ban and all that kind of something there.
Right.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But what I would say is that if the nations them said, we ain't playing them.
Yeah, yeah.
Then who would they play?
That's right.
But it would need all of them to stick together and say, listen, we ain't playing Argentina, full stop.
It's a bit like...
Yeah, yeah. That is the only thing what the world would have to look up and say, yeah, we rate that. That's a move.
It's a little bit of a, you know, like, you know, the South American countries, them, right? All of them did have a little get together, you know. Did some like little talkings. So you got some talkings from the man them from Brazil, some talkings from the Colombian man and Paraguay man and all them something there, right? Ecuador man. And they all said, oh, you know, we'll big up everybody if the Latin team, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Any Latin team what's in there, Latino team left in there, we're bigging you up, solid. But we now big up Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they're not bigging them because Argentina feels to them better than everybody else. They're different.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%.
They said that they're not Latino. They are Europeans, but in a different place. That's what them say. They are Europeans in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, as you quite rightly last week explained it, you explained it rated. They feel, right, they are different to all the other South American countries. And we can see the difference why. We can see the reasons why they feel that they're different. Because as I've said before to other people around me, you look at the Argentinian team. Look at it closely, right? And then you look at Paraguay, who are next door neighbors, Chile,
yeah.
Bolivia, Ecuador, Colombia, Brazil, Uruguay,
Peru, all of them,
right? They've all got Fiwi in it.
And if you know the code, you're on it.
That's what I'm saying. I did like that cut to the code, you know?
If you don't know the code, you look it up and you get it.
That's right.
Yeah?
Right.
And then for me as well, like I said, I kind of echo what I was going to say about FIFA ain't going to boycott them because they're a part of that. They're a part of that Mickey Mouse kind of setup business what they have, where, you know, top brass can't get voted out. He's going to be re-elected and re-elected again and again and again. I mean, when his days is done, that's when, you know, somebody else will step in. Maybe his nephew or something like that. They've got it. But, you know, I just think that nations should just say, we ain't playing you. We don't want nothing to do with
that's
you.
Right.
We ain't playing you.
That's right.
And that's right. When top brass will have to do something about it.
I was all even saying this the other day. If uno feels that you're not Latino, well, uno come out of the South American Cup then. In the Cup, you know, the Copa Cup, Copa America. Right? Make them come out of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel say you're not Latino, come out of it. Right?
They ain't gonna do that. They might give them a little fine or something, but will they really be paying that fine?
I just think when you look at that country, you look at some of the racist something that they were going on with you know, my man Speed, right? The YouTube boy there, right? And some of their fans were going on the most with some of the most racist things going on with. We all talk about racism in football. Let's kick it out and all that. That was blatant. Absolute blatant, right?
On the pitch, off the pitch, all over.
Honestly, it was absolutely disgusting.
But you know something? They've got this... They've got this thing called the McCollin Convention, yeah, which has been signed by 43 states in total, including key nations like Australia, Morocco, alongside numerous European countries. So basically, it's like a treaty. What the European kind of like countries kind of like have signed, and it's like kind of like it goes into to prevent, well, you're never going to prevent it, but to manage the match kind of fixing, you know, which is increased at a rapid kind of rate, organised by crime networks, money laundering, processes from drugs, international agreement committee, which was introduced back in 2014. UK signed that back in 2018. And the core objectives are to prevent, which you never prevent, prevention, detection, access to match fixing, the risks, and managing conflict. You've got other components like national coordination platforms, which each country to collect and share data. That's each country that are in this convention, this committee thing. And illegal sanctions, which basically encourages domestic laws, and you know, make sure that penalties are taking place. I mean, people might say, well, you know, why come kind of Argentina aren't in it and stuff like that? Well, it was basically for, you know, the kind of European countries, but Argentina actually participated in it as an observer rather than sort of like being a full kind of like member, you know. And like I said, this is kind of like a treaty, what kind of like teams will kind of like sign up to, you know. Teams such as like, you know, other states involved, Albania, Aldoria, Australia in it, Bosnia, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Czech, Denmark, Finland, Georgia, Germany, Hungary, Ireland, Latvia, Morocco, Netherlands, Macedonia, Poland, Romania, Russia, Turkey, you know, Morocco, and like I said, UK's in there, but they signed it after 4 years when it was coming in. And do you know something? What I thought, to step things up, they could have it open to not just European nations, but, you know, like whether any kind of nation, you know, whether it's South America or whether it's North America, I think they should open something like this. And, you know, if you're, I'm not saying to force nations to sign, but if you're not in it, then, you know, you can't take part in whatever tournament's happening. You know what I mean? Because you're signing a treaty to saying you're going to abide by certain rules and certain conditions, whether, you know, you're going to monitor drug cheating and or money laundering and stuff like that. I think it could go that way, but a lot of work would have to be done before that kind of happens. They're never going to stop it, because the people who are running things are governing it and are managing it anyway. You know what I mean? Like the top man in FIFA, he's well in it. I saw something the other day. There was interviewing this kind of like YouTuber or something, one big dude, and he was told to give a trophy to Messi, and he slipped up. He said, "Well, they told me to give it to Messi," and then he said, "Oh yeah, well, obviously if he wins it, you know what I mean." So, you know, it kind of just slipped out, you know. You know, I think in my in my kind of estimate of Messi now, it's gone down a lot. And even though they've been at it since way back, Hand of God, for example, as one example, Maradona,
yeah,
back in the days, what were that, 68 or something?
Was it 82, innit?
82.
Like that.
But it's like, from them days, they've been at it, but they've been allowed. Mm. They've been allowed to do that, you know? So you've got to look at that. And if you're allowed to do something and you're successful from it, why would you stop? You know, and if you're collecting from it as well, why would you stop? You know, it's people at top. I mean, you know, it was for all the public, for all the nation to see, you know, because, you know, you've got, you know, VAR, sometimes VAR didn't even step in.
Nope.
And sometimes they didn't even bother show the replay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how deep it is. Mm. You know what I mean? Not just on the pitch, it's the officials, you know, on the pitch, not blowing up or not punishing Smaddy with a red card or a yellow card. You know, the VAR people, them not intervening. Yo, ref, you need to come and have a look on the monitor. You know what I mean? To the top people. So it's deep in it. And so I, you know, that's what I'm saying. For me, you know, if you're going to start like a revolution on it, you'd be saying to the nations, listen, we're not putting up with this anymore. You know what I mean? This business,
what?
You know, so let's manage it ourselves, because FIFA aren't manage it, so we have to manage it ourselves. Let's not bother playing them. Nobody play them, mm. You know? And I think for me, that's the way to go. People might say, oh, that's kind of excessive, that you can't, you know, like, because there will be some good amongst them, but where them there, they're not speaking out, are they? They're not speaking out.
I listened to some of these Argentinian fans, and they were saying that they feel something was going on, because that wasn't the real Argentinian team what was out there. They were saying things like, oh, you know, Simone,
uh-huh,
right? He has attended all of their games, right? With the exception of the World Cup final. He didn't turn up, right? He said, you got the head of Argentinian football. You got to remember, we're talking the World Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Him never turn up. So they're saying, oh, what's going on there? Right? There's something definitely wrong there. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, mm-hmm, it might be. We don't know. All I'm saying is, they said, in the history of the World Cup final, you've never had where one team's not had one shot per goal. Not one shot per goal, you know. Argentina had not even one shot on goal in 90 minutes. It's only when it was extra time. When them start trying to go on with that little player.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just feel sick. Me, and I'm talking for myself. Me, nah. I've lost respect for that country. The whole of it, the Argentinian country, the whole of them, right? I've looked at other things. You look at the Argentinian players when they got done and they was on the plane and they were singing the song, right? To the French team. They didn't even play the French team. So what are you singing? What you're singing them the kind of song for?
But you know, like I mean, I hear what you're saying, and you're absolutely right, 159% of it. But it's like, you've got to look at, you know, they're not sanctioning them. I mean, you've got, like I said, the top boss,
and you,
Infantino,
and you,
he's him in a
talk. And you're right. And you know why you're right? Because it's one thing after the other thing. It's one thing after the other thing, right? That's blatant, right? And yet, you're right. Not never went on with the Argentinian player them. You know, for me, No. There's something wrong. There's something wrong.
And it's been going on for years. You know what I mean? And I think, obviously, because how media deals with things now in the press, the commentary, and I think, you know, you've got the pundits, them coming out openly saying, that's bang out of order. Now, that necessary didn't really happen back in the days because they thought that there was kind of breaching contracts and speaking out of term. But now, you know, you've got Henri saying, that can't work.
No.
You know?
Well, you look at my man, right? My last thing, pandemic. They won it, didn't they? In 2020 and 22, yeah? When they won it. When Argentina won it, yeah?
Okay, uh-huh.
Right. You've got, what you call him, the goalkeeper, Fidem goalkeeper, Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He wins the Golden Glove. And he went on with some slackness on the stage. When he did some kind of, with his hand and took his hand and did that in front on the stage.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it was on the stage. Look, panic, good.
Yeah,
when
he
gets, he does that.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done about it. Nothing gets done about that. Do you know what I mean?
They've got away with things, but the nation are allowing them to get away with it.
Well, that's right. They're
allowing them because you know, you've got, if somebody's not being punished the way that you'd expect them to be, then you take it into your own hands and you set up a little committee. And I'm sure people in my talk to say, look, what do you think?
Listen,
you know,
I'm going to say that where you're right again. Look, when Jude speak out, some of the country goes against him.
Mm-hmm.
They said he's uppity. He's full of himself. Am I right?
100%.
Right? They said, oh, he's full of himself, Jude, and whatever. But he's not full of himself. He's confident. He's confident, right? And he's confident. He believes in himself. And that's the reason why he's a talented footballer. That's the reason why him scoring the goal. Right? So, but people were straight on him. My man does that thing, the little hand gesture and all them kind of thing. Look, my man, Fernandez, when he takes his hand like that when he scored the goal. What's that about?
Yeah.
Tell me what's that about. Yeah. Nobody screams and shouts about that. It's all right because you're right. Because the nation's behind it.
Yes.
They think it's okay. You didn't hear nobody kicking up no fuss, like I said, when the players were going on with their slackness on the plane and saying them kind of things about the mother is from Nigeria and all them something there, right? And then the passport says French. Nobody in that country kicked up anything.
It's like saying them can't touch them. You
that's
know what I mean.
That's
again, you know that Infantino. He needs to be brought to task. He needs to be brought to task, man, because I think the only way that, you know, the nations will get some peace from it, if they stick together and say, listen,
we're boycotting you.
Yeah. They ain't going to be kicked out, you know, anytime soon. So we will kick them out and we now play them.
That's right.
You know, simple as that, you know. But yeah, I mean, you know, from when Trump overruled something about, you know, the red card and am I stepping in?
That's when it went.
Yeah, it just sour, man.
Went downhill.
Just sour.
And then my man, you know? and then him push up himself in you know, when they win it, when Spain win it. Him won't put himself in at it. Like, say, my player.
That just looked false to me.
What's that?
It just looked false, that.
What's
like,
that?
Say, he had to be there because he was presenting it.
But
the man,
they didn't drive him, didn't they? They drive him to one side. They pulled him to one side. They said, no, you can't come in at it. Then pull him one side.
And look upon Lamine Lamar, when him just looked upon him, did you see it?
I didn't see that, to be fair.
He did cut his eye upon him.
As if to say, where you go?
Yeah. And they kind of... They kind of slowed it down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's
okay.
Like,
I
kind of did cut him eye upon Trump.
I just saw the the president, because they were like kind of cussing my man about his dress wear that ain't coming as suit, but coming as some bright white trainers.
Oh, Trump.
No, what's his name? Farina, for him who headed a FIFA.
Infantino.
Yeah. Infantino. Yeah, him.
See.
They were like tearing him. They were saying, where my man I go? He might wear some Sunday suit with some big white tree. Some big white trainers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And my man, in the ending, my man had to draw Trump to one side and say, yo, you're going to have to come out of pictures, you know, because yeah. I spear thing this and I feel thing this. You have to come out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. I'm just like I said last week when I listened to the show and I thought how you explained that I thought it was rated. And I was just like a little bit knocked that I wasn't there.
You know?
Because the history behind the country Argentina. If you understood the history, you'd understand the reasons why certain people are upset and didn't want them to win it.
And it's spilled over on media as well. It's all over media, you know. They're saying that the International Olympic Committee say that it will not investigate Infantino as a complaint about the FIFA president is outside its scope. So it's about, you know, is anybody going to take responsibility for it as well? We can't do that. It's outside our scope. So that they're basically washing their hands and say, we don't want none of that. Maybe they're getting a feed from it too. You know what I mean? So who knows who's getting a feed from it? Trump admitted during the World Cup that he had called Infantino to ask him, you know, to review the red card, all that kind of stupidness about, the American player was bang out of order because FIFA haven't got, they've got it that, you know, red cards and yellow cards can't really be challenged. You know what I mean? But, you know, when you get Trump with the make the phone call, you know what I mean? It's like deal or no deal. You know, you might as well add Noel Edmonds pan it. You know what I mean? You know?
Because you can just imagine, you know what I mean? You can imagine, yo, you Trump a phone up my man and I say, yo, man, yes, sir, you bar up for me, man. No, man, you can't do that. I feel the best, man. So look pan it good and just relent and just say, yeah, him day and night. And then my man said, oh, let me have a look. And then you see him come back and say, yes, Aya, you're right. We are going to take away that red card and he can play. Game done in mm-hmm. Ghana night. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. Football, nah, I'm not. This World Cup for me, nah. It gets spiled up. But anyway, Adat.
Yeah, kind of. It was kind of. That just overshadows everything, innit, really? Because, like we said, it's not the first time they've been teething at that level, but obviously people are more acute now to what's going off, and the media are doing their thing, and the, presenters, the pundits are kind of voicing their kind of concerns as well, and they're just talking out. And they're not kind of walling back, neither. You know what I mean? Zlatan was at it as well. That's out of order. And there was one manager who Argentina played. I think it was their quarterfinal game. In fact, it was the Egyptian manager when he kind of come onto the pitch and he made kind of, you know, like the West Ham kind of like sign, like to say abandon the game because it's going on too bad. And they just kind of totally dissed him out of the way. You know what I mean? But it's sad. I mean, you know, we talked about why so much teething's going on and, you know, you're looking at the kind of like psychological stuff going off, you know, behind the scenes and, you know, it's kind of like the pressures are just kind of like large, you know, the integrity of the game's got to be kind of questions. And I suppose people will be glad when they see the domestic game come back very, very soon. You know? 1859. Yeah, going in into the last few seconds of this show. Go on, CV, take it away, man.
No, you know what? I really took much notice of the domestic, really. I don't even know when we're playing, honestly. I even really even took no notice, really, because I've been more in a this World Cup thing, but, you know, obviously, like you say, it soon come.
Soon come. Anyway, right. And we soon gone.